I suspect all of us have been in that place of conversation with the Lord before that this scholar of the law was. And who is my neighbor? And it's always easy to villainize Jesus's interlocutors in the gospel. Oh yeah, I'd never do that. But if we're honest with ourselves, they tend to be mirrors of some fallen aspect of us. It's easy to start trying to draw lines around who our neighbor is and who it is that we're called to love. So I'll preface this with the sense of this is something where I have had to go through a great deal of conversion myself. So you all know that before I came as associate pastor here, I'd been pastor of 6 very small rural parishes a couple hours north of here. And I'd been put in the position where one of them needed to close. And you can imagine how that went. It got to the place where I would get nauseous having to walk to my mailbox because I didn't know what was waiting for me there, but I had guesses. I was nervous all the time to open my email because so often it had been where cruel messages had been. Picking up the phone, never knew what I was going to get. There were petitions, secret meetings in the basement of the church, this whole host of really pretty cruel things that were directed my way. And when the move happened and I came here, I figured I'd navigated it well. I never lost my temper with anyone who was on the phone with me. I never fired back a nasty email. I never, you know, responded to the letters by having a burning out on my rectory's front lawn. So I thought, okay, I loved them. That parish happened to have a summer parish festival. And while I had been there, they would always love to say, we have never had rain on our parish festival. So the day came, I was sitting right over in that pew there praying my office, and I realized, oh, it's the day of their parish festival. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I hope it rains. It didn't, praise be to God. But it was the moment of having a mirror held up to me by the Lord, going, you have not loved them. You have not forgiven them. You have said, they're not my neighbor. And so, this gospel and the whole concept of forgiving our enemies, blessing those who persecute us, is deeply personal for all of us. Because no doubt every single person in this church, if we have been on this earth long enough, if we've been around other people long enough, have been dealt very real wounds. Have people who, if we were honest with Jesus, we would say, are they really my neighbor? Do I really have to love them? And he says yes. But how do we do that? Because as Christians, we've received some pretty bad instruction. Instruction that's kind of formulated by the culture more than by the gospel. We've been taught that in response to being wounded, feeling angry, feeling sad, feeling scared, feeling grief, these are not appropriate things for Christians to feel, so we should feel guilty that someone hurt us and we feel angry in response. But that's not anywhere in the scriptures. It's helpful hearing the story of the Good Samaritan, remembering that the wisdom of the church fathers is that it is first a story about God, not a story about what we're supposed to do. First, it is about God who comes upon us, beaten, stripped, half dead, and saves us. And Jesus goes to great lengths talking about what that saving looks like. There is no way that this guy is able to save himself. The Good Samaritan, God doesn't stand there and say, look, you got to at least get yourself out of the ditch here. Like, you got to at least put yourself onto my animal. You got to limp along, and then I'll take care of you. I'll pay for you to be cared for once we get to the inn. No. He picks him up. He places him on his animal. If you've ever picked up dead weight, this is not an easy thing to do. And then what he leaves behind for the care of this man is opulent in its generosity. Right? So we have a God who looks at us in our woundedness and doesn't ask how we got there. And so there's this spiritual idea that Jericho is not a great place spiritually. It's never been a good place for the people of Israel. There have been great battles there. It's been kind of a pagan stronghold. So you have to ask the question, why was this guy going instead of from Jericho to Jerusalem, to the holy city? Why is he going the other direction? So it'd be easy to say, well, he got what he deserved. And so he's got to deal with his wounds. Nope. God shows this great generosity. So we need to, at first, when we've been hurt, set aside some of the script that we've been taught. Well, maybe they didn't really mean it. Maybe they were just having a bad day. Everybody's got something they're dealing with. You know, all kind of the Midwest nice things that we say. They're toxic to our healing because they put up a barrier where we don't let God actually get to the truth that there's a raw nerve there. We've been hurt. We're angry. We're sad. We're scared. And he loves us enough to be in that place of reality with us. And in fact, that's the only way that healing even begins. Then, as we are taken care of, we find the freedom then to see things clearly, the freedom and the grace. Right, if we've ever had a wound or we have a kid who's had a wound, right, it's really scary at first because it's kind of all messy and gross and you don't even really know what it looks like. And then it has to be cleaned off so that you can actually see what needs to be cared for. You can see it clearly. But generally that comes first after some compassion and tending and caring and letting the tears kind of run their course. So after the Lord does that with us, then in the light of his love, we see these things in truth. And maybe in that truth we see, I did the best that I could, so I will make peace with that. Or we go, it takes two to tango. I was responsible for some of this too. We're given the grace to try and see our wounds and their effects in clarity. And then we started with Jesus and we conclude with Jesus. Because even after all of that, in our fallenness, we still do not like the fact that God asks us to love those who may not apologize to us, those who don't understand the depth of what they did, those who are convinced of their righteousness in the face of wounding us, or those who, because of distance, time, death, we will never have the opportunity to be face to face with, to seek out reconciliation. And so that old adage that to err is human and to forgive is divine bears itself out. It is God who gives us the grace to love that way because he has loved us that way first. All right, so this is what our first two readings really talk about. God is speaking through Moses. I'm not making you go up to the sky to get my law. I'm not telling you to go on a great journey to go find it. I have already brought it close to you. In fact, so close that it will be in your heart. And even more than in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets in Jesus, St. Paul is able to say that in Jesus, all of the fullness is pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. The burden isn't on us to somehow stir up, drum up love for our enemies. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan provides generously even after the man has been healed. I will pay back whatever is owed. And so when we experience our poverty, having been healed, the wounds becoming scars, we can still go to the Lord who is the Good Samaritan and say, I need you to give me what I don't have. I need you to give me the kind of love that lets me consider my enemies my neighbor. And in fact, this is how Jesus loves us. And I want us to understand this rightly as well, because sometimes we use the cross to invalidate our wounds. Well, look at what you did to him. No. Right? When he comes to the apostles in the upper room, all of them having run away from him at some point, some of them having denied him, he shows them the wounds in his hand. And at first, the apostles take it as a rebuke. They become afraid, and he has to say, "Peace be with you." In this, Jesus is saying, yes, you did do this to me, but I love you and I want you to be whole. And through his presence with them over 40 days, the remaining days up to Pentecost, he heals them and pours out his own life, his own spirit on them, so that they can leave the place of safety and protection that they think the upper room is, to go into the midst of their enemies and bear his love. We become receptive to the supernatural love of Jesus by recognizing that Jesus didn't die for the healed, cleaned up, perfect version of us. Jesus died for the absolute worst version of us that was responsible for putting him on the cross. That is where his love is at its maximum. And so we allow ourselves not to be shamed, but to have our understanding of his love for us expanded, to include those versions of ourselves that we would just as soon forget or wish never existed. He went to them, showed the wounds, and said, "Peace be with you." So as we approach Jesus today in the Eucharist, maybe we're at that place where we're aware of who it is in our heart. We're saying, are they my neighbor? Or maybe we're at the place where all we are is just this raw set of wounds. Okay. Then we let him embrace us. Just care for us there, not demand much of us. maybe there's some clarity, and we know that he's calling us, holding up that mirror, like my own prayer that there would be rain on the parish feast day. Okay, we need to talk about this, Lord. I need to see the truth of the situation now. Then let him have that conversation with you. Or, if you go, I just have no idea how I could ever consider those people my neighbor. Then we come to him in poverty. You have loved me at my worst, showed me the wounds I caused, and wished me peace. Let me receive that peace and give me the love that I don't have. Give me to share of your fullness. We again are brought to the story of the Good Samaritan, not with a list of things now to walk away and do, right? Go out and do this, but rather are brought before the Good Samaritan himself to be loved, to be made strong, so that from that strength, that security, and that love that is God's own, then we are able to go out and extend the work of the Good Samaritan, not from our own power, but from his, with those who are indeed around us.